Welcome to this message from the teaching ministry of University Presbyterian Church in Orlando, Florida, under the leadership of Senior Pastor Mike Osborne.
Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. This is the word of the Lord.
What's up with your box?
That's not mine.
Oh, well, how long has it been here?
Since before I got here. I don't know. It's not my problem.
Well, what is it?
It's a problem.
Oh, the problem.
Right.
Well, should I look at it?
Knock yourself out. But you might want to think about that.
Oh, why?
Well, like I said, that's a problem.
Well, whose problem is it?
I don't know. It was here before I got here.
Wait, so you don't know whose it is?
No, and honestly, I don't really care. I've got more important things to do.
Yeah, well, someone has to care. I mean, you can't just sit here forever. It's got to be someone's problem.
Why? Why does it have to be someone's problem? Just don't look at it. Pretend it's not even there. Hey, there is no problem.
What? That doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, wait, so what you're saying is it's not your problem.
Right.
And it's not my problem.
Yeah.
Then whose problem is it?
It's not my problem. So whose problem is it? Well, what is the problem? There are a lot of problems that we could talk about that are in the world today. But do you know what the worst problem is? I picked up the Sunday newspaper this morning from my driveway and looked at the obituary column. And just out of curiosity, counted the number of people in Central Florida who have died in the recent few days. I counted 82. That's the problem. Wonder how many of these 82 people had a relationship with Christ. I wonder how many of the 82 never heard about Jesus. It's very possible that never did anyone sit down with them and actually share the good news of Jesus Christ. Friends, that's the problem. What I want to talk with you about this morning is not having the attitude of that guy on the park bench who said, it's not my problem, because it is. You see, Jesus Christ calls us as his followers to have the job of making disciples of all nations. That ought to be our job. That ought to be our joy, to introduce people who don't know Jesus to the good news. If it's only, as I'm going to say in a little while this morning, if it's only to help them take a couple more steps a little bit closer to Jesus, that's our calling as the followers of Jesus Christ. We're in a new series right now, and it's on the book of Philippians, as you knew. Last week, Matt took you through most of Philippians chapter 1. Our series is called To Know Christ and To Make Him Known. Last week, you learned about the Apostle Paul. You remember that Paul, when he wrote the book of Philippians, was sitting in a jail or prison in Rome. And when he was in that prison, says in verse 18 that he was joyful. He says in that verse, I rejoice. Even though he was chained to a guard 24 hours a day, even though he stayed probably at least 2 years here in this Roman prison, he says, I rejoice. Why? It was because, according to that verse, Christ was being preached. That's what brought Paul joy. It came from knowing that the gospel was advancing. People were being converted. And as Matt said, Paul's mentality was that he wanted more people in more places to come under the influence of the gospel of Christ, to come to know the Savior. Paul could have said, it's not my problem. Paul had every reason in the world, humanly speaking, to sort of complain and whine and say, you know, I'm not in a very good place. I don't think I've got the opportunity, but he didn't say that. Instead, as he says in verse 20 of this same chapter, now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. See, Paul knew that he was here to help people understand and believe the gospel. So the question for us this morning is, how is it with you? How is it with me? Let's take an honest look this morning at ourselves and say, how do we view our situation? Do we have that same view of our mission that Jesus left us with? That we're here in our way, in some way, to contribute to the Great Commission and the making of disciples around the world. What are you doing to help people take just a few more steps a little bit closer to God? Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but let me give you some raw data. As you know, back in May of 2011, our church participated in a survey. It was called the Reveal Survey. The purpose of this was to reveal where we're at, to use a dangling preposition. It was to reveal where we are with respect to a whole host of different things to kind of measure our spiritual health. And one of the things that it sought to measure was our activity level in evangelism. Now look, whether we want to call that evangelism or witnessing or sharing our faith or loving our neighbor or the Great Commission, whatever you want to call it, it's our duty to share by word as best we can the good news of Christ. And so in this particular survey, some questions were asked, and I want to show you a little bit about it. 185 people here at UPC filled out that Reveal survey last May. Now, we have about 733 members and regular attenders, and so that means about 25% of us filled out that survey. That's actually pretty good. So let me show you a couple of charts. Now, this, we don't want to take forever with this, and I'm only talking about a couple of different items, but I want you to look at the chart up here. One of the questions on the survey was, how do you participate in key spiritual activities with others? And over half of us said we want to nurture a spiritual friendship. That's a good thing. We want to meet with a mentor or a confidant once or more a month. And about a third of us said we want to serve those in need on our own. That is, away from a church activity. And that's good, too. But notice this number. How many of you want to do evangelism? 19%. And notice how they defined evangelism. 6 or more conversations, spiritual conversations, that is, per year. Now, and the definition of a spiritual conversation was very generous. When we talked this morning about a spiritual conversation, we're talking about anything from just asking a question about someone's spiritual values to telling someone that you will pray for him or for her, or sharing your spiritual story and your journey with them, or simply telling them something that God is doing in your life. That's a spiritual conversation. So according to the survey, about 1 in 5 of us last year had 6 or more of those conversations with a non-Christian. That's not good. That's not good. Now, let me show you another chart. And I'm going to make you feel real guilty for a little while, and then I'm going to bring in the good news, okay? Here was the question. How do you encourage non-Christians towards spiritual growth? That is, in your life, as you mix and mingle with non-Christian people, what do you try to do, you know, to introduce Christ into their life? And here are a whole host of different choices from talking about spiritual issues to telling them you'll pray for them to even displaying Christian symbols. Now, I'm not sure what that is. It may be a fish on your car or something like that. A lot of us do that, learning about their life and so on like that. But notice, let me explain the arrows. Those down arrows indicate that we as a congregation are lower than the average church. And when you see two arrows, we're supposed to really take note of that because we're way below the average church who has filled out the survey, okay? So notice the one that I put in red. 17% of us practice inviting people, non-Christian people that we meet, that we know, to come to church with us. 17%. That's way below, two arrows below the national average. And I just want to ask us, what's going on there? How do you interpret that? What does that say to you? How do you interact with that? That's pretty important data, don't you think? Because it's ironic about that. When inviting somebody to church strikes me as pretty inoffensive. It's not real hard to invite someone to church. And in fact, I've shared with you before some research that shows that 96% of unchurched people are at least somewhat likely to come to church with you when invited. 96%, according to a recent survey. So we have every reason to be out there inviting our friends, our neighbors to church, but we've got some work to do, don't we? We've got some work to do. Because in light of the assignment that Jesus left us with, I think we've got a gap that we need to take a look at and be serious about this morning. And I want to say it this way, okay? That's the bad news. Today is a new day at UPC. Today we are going to wipe the slate clean and we're going to, by God's grace, see those numbers begin to change. Because over the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking with you in a very honest way, but very practically, about what it looks like in our life to do better in this area of evangelism. Maybe you feel that you're way not adequate in this area. Maybe you feel that you're not gifted in evangelism. But I want to give you some tools. I want to talk with you really honestly about how we can see more people in more places becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. Because I'm convinced that God wants to use you and me in this work. We can do this. This is not rocket science. And not only that, we have the Holy Spirit within us to help us to do the work that God has called us to do. Now, this is not going to be like my typical sermons. I'm just letting you know that today, next week, and the week after, three parts, you put the three together and you have a sermon. But it's not like my typical way of looking at a passage of Scripture. We're not going to expound, you know, the verses of Philippians chapter 1. But instead, I'm using it as a launching pad to give you some tools to talk about how we can become better at communicating the gospel of Christ. So here's my plan today. Here are the three things I want to cover this morning. First, I want to talk about how you can recognize and overcome some obstacles when it comes to evangelism. Secondly, I want us to talk about developing an evangelistic attitude. And third and finally, I'm just going to barely scratch the surface on learning a simple gospel presentation. So there's our plan. Let's begin. If we're going to begin growing more effective and more faithful as communicators and sharers of the gospel, the first thing we need to do is recognize and overcome some obstacles. I want to mention two big obstacles that get in the way of most Christians, and I dare say they get in the way of us here at UPC when it comes to the idea of opening up our mouth and speaking to other people about Jesus. The two obstacles are fear and isolation. Let's talk about those. First is fear. It's a really big obstacle, fear of man. And when I say fear of man, I'm really talking about fear of people. Just people in general. One of the things that keeps us from telling others about Jesus sometimes is that we're afraid. Afraid of what, you ask? Well, afraid of looking like a fool. afraid of being labeled a narrow-minded, closed-minded, conservative bigot, whatever people are calling Christians out there today, afraid of not knowing what to say, afraid of being caught off guard by a question and not knowing the answer to that question. I'm sure that that relates to many of you. Afraid that, at best, the person to whom you're speaking will be disinterested and, at worst, will reject you as his or her friend. Those are some of the fears that we have when it comes to telling people about Christ. And this is something that I've struggled with my whole life. I got to be honest with you. I want people to like me. I don't generally like confrontation. I don't really like rocking the boat in someone's life. I love peace. But you know what I've discovered about myself? I've discovered that at the bottom of that attitude is the idea that it's all up to me. Now, does this resonate with anyone here? At the bottom of that fear, I've discovered that I feel like it's all up to me. You know, when I'm talking to somebody, I have to have the right words. I have to say it in the right way. And that person needs to start eating out of my hand. You know, that type of thing. They need to fall on their knees and say, "Mike, what must I do to be saved? Your presentation is so perfect." See, that's really what I think. And that's not true. Not true at all. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for example, he's talking about his role in the Corinthians' lives. And he says this, and this is Paul. This is Paul, the great evangelist. Paul, he says, what is Paul? Who am I? He says in 1 Corinthians. I'm just a servant, he says. He says, I planted the seed. Apollos is another one of his cohorts. Apollos watered, but God made it grow. Now, please, friends, remember that verse. I'm just a servant, says Paul. I planted a seed. Apollos came along and he watered it, but it was God who made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. Isn't that good news? Doesn't that relieve you a little bit? Neither you nor I nor any one of us is really anything, because it's God, says Paul, who makes things grow. Your job is not to save people. Your job is to plant a seed. Did you see the movie What About Bob? One of my favorite movies. You got Dr. Leo Marvin, who is played by Richard Dreyfuss in that movie, and he's dealing with this guy named Bob. And you remember the wonderful advice he gives Bob is baby steps. And that's really all we're doing for our non-Christian friends. By God's grace, if he will so use us, we are helping that friend just take one more baby step toward God. That's all we're doing as we plant these seeds of the gospel. Who are you? You're just a servant. Paul in another place says, you're just a jar of clay. But inside you, you have a treasure. You have a treasure that God wants to share. It's called the gospel. What is gospel? It means good news. It's the good news that Jesus has died on the cross for sinners, unworthy people who have run away from God, in order to bring them back to God. And he did it himself. And our job is simply to plant those seeds of truth. Isaiah chapter 55 ought to also encourage you. It says that when you communicate the word of God to people, it won't return to God empty. It will accomplish the purpose for which God has sent it. And so as you plant these seeds, as you talk to people in whatever way you can, however little you can plant that seed, God promises to use it to bring that person a little bit closer to himself. So fear is the one obstacle that I wanted to talk about. But there's a second one that keeps us from growing in this area of evangelism, and it's isolation. Isolation, not having meaningful relationships with non-Christians. There's a type of sinful isolation that we Christians sometimes get into. And it's to avoid real meaningful redemptive relationships with people who are not believers. See, for some of us, the obstacle is that we don't have any non-Christian friends. Do you? Do you have non-Christian friends you could name? Friends that you have a relationship with that might lead to something spiritual. Listen, if you want to catch fish, what do? You got to get close to a body of water. And in the same way, if you're going to help people take a step or two closer to God, you need to know them. You need to go where they go, be where they are. You need to do things that bring you into significant contact with non-Christians. Again, I want to let you know, this is hard for me. By nature, I'm an introvert. I like my space. I like privacy. I like peace and quiet. And so what I had to do, because I work in church, I'm with Christians all the time. You don't know what it's like to be with Christians all the time. Just kidding. But I am. I'm with Christians 24 hours a day, it seems like. And so I have to do intentionally things that will break me out of that ghetto and into the world. So just so you'll know, and you need to know this, I join LA Fitness and I play racquetball several times a week. And I've been able to meet some of the guys over there who are not believers. There's one guy in particular that if you play with me, you know who I'm talking about, that we're hoping to bring in. He came to church one day. So that's a way. The other thing I've done is just yesterday, for the first time, I rode with the East Side Cycling Club. Some of you are members of the East Side Cycling Club. And I decided I'd join. Yeah, Todd, I joined the club and I did my first ride yesterday. And yes, the Lord actually did use it. I got into a good spiritual conversation with one of the guys that I'd never met before. And he opened up and he shared with me about his child that's been having some problems. And so, you know, all it took for me, little fearful me, was, you know, breaking through that resistance barrier, that isolation obstacle, and saying, okay, I need to do this. I need to be out there. And it does lead to spiritual things. But you know, for some of you, the kingdom of darkness will shudder when all you do is walk across the street and introduce yourself to a neighbor. The kingdom of darkness is threatened by your redemptive involvement in the lives of non-Christians. And you guys, and I too, we have all kinds of opportunities to do that. So, my advice, my suggestion to you this morning is to find ways to intersect with the lives of some unbelievers. Don't hang out with your Christian friends all the time. Join a civic group or a club at school or invite a neighbor over for coffee or dessert. Create a blog. Be an online missionary. Start a book club. Take a plate of cookies over to a family that just moved in down the street or something like that. See, if you want to help people move closer to Jesus, you need to move closer to them. So, God is calling us this morning to repent of these two obstacles, to fight through them. The obstacle of fear and the obstacle of isolation. How do you do that? You preach the gospel to yourself. And you keep reminding yourself daily how much God is delighted in you. How much He has freed you from worry about who you are and saying the right thing and doing the right thing, because God's delight is in you and His Holy Spirit is within you. Believe those truths and then go through those obstacles. All right, so that's the first key to growing in our evangelistic effectiveness. Let me take you to key number two. The second one that I want to talk about with you for a few minutes is that you and I need to develop an evangelistic attitude. Now, this is something we can all do. It doesn't even really require a lot of change of life. But it's an important shift of our thinking. An evangelistic attitude. And this attitude needs to stay with you throughout the day. Let me explain what I'm talking about. When I think about Paul in this Roman prison, he had an evangelistic attitude. In verse 16, notice what he says. He says, I am put here for the defense of the gospel. That was his attitude. I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Like I said earlier, Paul could have wimped out. He could have said, you know what, God, this stinks. This prison, this chain that I have here on me. I don't like this prison guard. God, you got to get me out of here. If you can get me out of this prison to a better place, then I'll serve you. Then I'll speak up. Then I'll be an evangelist. Don't we think that way sometimes? Have you ever caught yourself saying, Lord, once I, you fill in the blank, then I will really, you know, speak up for you. Once you fix my circumstances, then, Lord, I'll really work harder at being a witness for Christ. No, an evangelistic attitude says, I am put here Wherever you are this second, I am put here for the defense of the gospel. I am put in this city, in this neighborhood, in this job, with this particular personality in order to be an ambassador for Jesus. So, what are some ways that you and I can develop this evangelistic attitude? Let me give you some practical suggestions. First of all, when you wake up in the morning, make a point to pray. A simple 10-second prayer. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me a sensitivity to the opportunities that you will bring my way to love some non-Christian people. Just make that a simple prayer. That took me 10, 15 seconds. Holy Spirit, fill me this morning and throughout the day. Keep me aware, keep me sensitive to people's needs. And then, as you meet people, as you see people, I will ask that you put on your gospel glasses. Now, what does that mean, putting on gospel glasses? What it means is that as you look around, you're standing in the checkout line, you're sitting behind your steering wheel looking at the cars around you at the traffic light, you're at work, you're at school, you're walking around the dog in the neighborhood or something like that, you've got your gospel glasses on. What that means is when you see people, you see them as human beings created in the image of God, with souls, with an eternity that is stretched out in front of them, and it's either heaven or it's hell. You see them as people who have a God-shaped vacuum in their hearts, and the only thing that will fill it is God. Sometimes God might lay a particular person that you see on your heart. It means you just simply lift up a silent prayer. God, I don't know why, but I want to pray for that person standing over there. That's an evangelistic attitude throughout the day. And then as you continue through the day with these gospel glasses on, simply try to be different. Simply try to be different. Smile and be friendly. Do kind things for people. Let them cut in front of you at the checkout line. Stop over at the Waterford Sound Center when people need to walk across and wait for them to walk. Simply be kind to people. Talk to them. If you're with them, you're in an elevator or you're walking up the steps, say something to people. Thank them. Compliment them. When you're at work or at school, work hard and work with integrity. That's being different. Don't complain. Don't whine. Don't bash the boss. Don't use bad language. But at the same time, don't be a Pharisee about all these things. Because there's nothing that non-Christians can pick up faster than a self-righteous, proud Christian. So as you are being different, don't be holier than thou. And then, last thing, as you're talking with people, meeting people, you've got the glasses on, you're looking at them with as people with souls, people with dignity, people made in God's image, as you're talking to people, see if you can move the conversation in a spiritual direction. You say, Mike, how do you do that? Come back next week and you'll find out. That's the third key. Let me just at least touch on what it is. The third of these three keys to becoming better at doing evangelism is to learn a simple gospel presentation. And what we're going to talk about next week is getting prepared with words. I'll talk with you a little bit about asking good questions and speaking the gospel in a real simple, clear way and things like that. And so if you'll come back next week, we'll cover those points as well. But in closing, I want to go back to that video that we saw at the beginning. You remember, it's not my problem. I want you to take from this message today, it is. It is your problem that people are dying and going to hell. The fact that hundreds or thousands of people that we rub shoulders with every day do not yet know Christ is our problem. It's your job and it's my job to do what we can do to help people move a step or two closer to Jesus. How do we do that? We've learned this morning that we'd begin by repenting of our fear and of our isolation. And we live through the day with a gospel evangelistic mindset. Next week, we'll talk about how to be prepared with words. My question to you is, are you willing to go for this? Are you willing to work on this area? Do you agree with me that we can change those numbers? Friends, by God's grace, we must and we will. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the new day that you've called us to today. And I hope the people have picked that up from your word. I pray, O God, that you will grip me. I need you, Lord, to help me overcome the obstacles and develop this evangelistic attitude. And I pray that for my brothers and sisters here at UPC as well. Father, we are aware that you've called us to be disciple makers. We are aware of how our tendency would be to withdraw and to let someone else have that problem. So we ask that, Lord, you will fill us with your Spirit and create a change movement here at UPC beginning right now. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We at University Presbyterian Church thank you for listening to this message. Our mission is to help people know God, grow together, and serve others. To learn more about the church or how to have a vital relationship with God, visit our website at www.upc-orlando.com or call our offices at 407-384-3300.